When I was hiring for marketing director earlier this year, one of the questions I had for the candidates was like, how do you approach creating offers? And most of it, them heard it, like literally 9 out of 10 marketing director candidates heard it as like, oh, do you mean like making discounts? Like, offering discounts and stuff? I'm like, no, that's not it. No, the offer is it's not just the thing, it's all of the conditions around the thing. So think of it this way. So if you go to a Starbucks and you buy a pumpkin spice latte, say, right? There is a pumpkin spice latte, venti or whatever the fuck they call it, and there's a price for that. Like that's the core of the offer, right? For X amount of dollars, you will get a pumpkin spice latte. But there's an implied guarantee in the offer, or maybe it's more than implied, because Starbucks is famous for, we will remake your drink anytime. If you're not satisfied or if you're not happy, we will remake your drink for you. That's part of the offer, right? The offer is the whole package. Like, we'll make it for you so it's hot. And like, and if it's not, you're not happy for whatever reason, we'll just make it up. We'll just remake it. We'll keep remaking it until you're happy. That's what makes it an offer, right? The offer is all the stuff that we put around it, to make it more compelling and more irresistible. So the whole game here is to make an offer that is irresistible, where people like, oh crap, like I would literally be dumb if I said no to this offer. So first, let's talk about pricing. Pricing again is something that trips a lot of people up. And they're like, oh, how much can I charge? And I don't want to charge too much because I don't want to be like one of those people or a bad person that charges a lot. And maybe you have hangups about money, and then you project that onto your customers and all kinds of things, right? And then and some people like just charge maybe like charge way too much compared to what the offer actually is. But price is what you pay, and value is what you get. So price is what you pay, value is what you get. So just because something costs a lot of money doesn't mean that it's expensive, right? So if I'm saying to you like, I have an offer for you, it's $100,000, and you're like, oh, $100,000, that's quite a lot of money. But if I then tell you, but it's a house that you can turn around to sell for $1 million because this house is worth at least $1.5 million. It's like, oh, now $100,000 doesn't sound like so much, right? So it's all relative to what the value is of what we're trying to sell. When it comes to pricing, there are generally four strategies that we can take. We can try to be the cheapest. We can try to just kind of be average with the market. We can try to charge a premium, or we can charge luxury. I shouldn't say try. We can do. We can try to be the cheapest or market average, or we can go for premium or luxury. Premium is what you want. So when you're trying to be the cheapest, and that's your reason that people should buy from you, well, there's always going to be someone else who's willing to sell it cheaper, right? So then that loses out very quickly. And if you're the second cheapest, nobody gets, like, you have zero advantage. Market average, like, then you're just average with the market. That's not that interesting. Luxury pricing is like, Chanel or I don't like Louis Vuitton or whatever, like handbags and, like that. Those kinds of products where the fact that it's expensive is part of the attraction, right? It's a status symbol. Look, I can pay like $8 bazillion for a useless handbag. Like, look how cool I am. I must be really good, right? It's a status symbol, the fact that you have it alone. So for our purposes, what we want is premium. So what that means is it's above the market average. So we charge more, but we also deliver more. And the reason why you want to charge premium pricing is because higher ch charging premium pricing increases your client's emotional investment, perceived value. Like, so emotional investment, we all know that when you pay more for shit, you value it more, right? You perceive your like the emotional investments, like, oh, it's, oh shit, now I need to take it seriously. Like, just the story I told the other day, about paying $15,000 to meet with Richard Branson, right? Like that was an emotional investment for me. I was like, oh crap, I need to kind of take this seriously now. And then I did. And even though I only had like 30 seconds with a man, it was still ended up being super valuable because I was so emotionally invested, right? Perceived value, like whenever we buy wine, we just assume that the more expensive bottle of wine is going to be better because it's more expensive. It must be. So just because it's more expensive, the perception is that it must be better. It also increases your client's results, which is interesting. But the reason why is that when they've paid more, they take it more seriously. And also you tend to attract clients that are easier to work with, that are more likely to be taking action. And so they actually get better results, which is great for you because then you have better case studies. It increases the ease of working with clients simply because you attract better clients. Like the people that you have to discount to get are usually always the worst clients. And so they're going to be a hassle down the line. So usually it's not worth it. It also increases the money that you have available to fulfill for your clients, right? When they pay you more money, you can hire coaches or hire more instructors, just invest more in having a great experience. If you were doing an in-person thing, you could be at a nicer hotel, you can have better food, all those things. So you can create a better experience for them. For you, high premium prices increases your profits. It naturally, right? Like the if your cost of fulfillment is the same, but you charge more, like all that extra charge, money that you charge is goes straight to the bottom line. So this is the number one way to increase your profits, just charge more and keep the expenses in check. Or you can charge even more and then increase expenses some too. It increases your perceived self-worth. It increases your perception of impact because you're actually seeing better results with people. You can increase service levels, the same thing as we talked about before. And if you have a sales team, then they are going to have stronger conviction. They're going to have more better commissions. They're going to have more money to work with, but also more conviction because they're seeing the results that you're generating with the clients. So that's why you want to charge premium pricing. And then this is the reason we do the high ticket is typically 1/5 of your prospects are willing to pay 5x more, right? So there's always going to be someone who's willing to pay 5 times what you're currently charging. And that can keep on going forever, essentially. So like of those 1/5, there's going to be another 1/5 of those that are willing to pay 5x that, and then you can keep going. And so that's how you can get into really high price stuff. Like, you know, charging $350,000 a year for, you know, for one-on-one coaching, if you're at that level. So, this is why you want to charge premium pricing. Now, in terms of the offer, so the offer itself is constructed of some core elements and then some, typically like one core thing, then some supporting elements, and then some bonuses. And you can structure it. Like your offer is going to have multiple things, right? It's going to have like, there's training on how to do X, Y, Z. And then there is a weekly group coaching call where we go into blah, blah. And then there is a community where you can access people that are on this journey with you 24/7. And then we do every quarter we do an in-person retreat or an additional workshop or something. There's going to be different elements to your offer. Some of these you position as part of the core, and some of them you pull out as bonuses. And the reason why you pull stuff out as a bonus is because it draws attention to it. And if your bonuses are really compelling, your bonuses can be something that becomes emotionally just so compelling for people that they want that they'll buy your main thing to get the bonus. And the bonus itself is worth every dollar you're charging for the main thing. That's a very powerful positioning because psychologically, when we feel like we get something for free, it has an incredible draw on us. The difference between, there's been experiments, like the difference between like chocolate, 10 cents and chocolate free is like ridiculous, right? And it's not that like 10 cents or even a cent or something is a lot of money to people. It's just the difference between free and not free is huge, huge psychologically. And so by taking things that are part of the offer and positioning them as a bonus psychologically, they're free, free with purchase of your main thing. And so when it comes to figuring out what to put into your offer, we're looking at the value equation here. So this is something Alex Hormozi came up with. The idea is the bigger the outcome that you can deliver and the higher the perceived likelihood of achievement and the lower the delay that it's going to take people, time delay to get that outcome, and the lower the effort and sacrifice that they're going to have to do to get there, the higher the value is. So breaking that down, if you offer something that's an outcome that's really, really, really compelling, and you can, in their minds, make it seem like it's almost impossible for them not to achieve this outcome, and you can do it fast rather than slow, right? You can get it tomorrow, and they can do it without, like, they can get the result without having to do anything. Like a done for you. Like, done for you is like very low effort and sacrifice, right? Time delay, we'll get it done tomorrow. This is something I really, really want. And I, they can virtually guarantee, like, they feel certain that they're going to get it. That's high value. That's high value. If we're saying, oh, but it's going to take a long time, or and you're going to have to do a lot of work, or, you know, they don't feel like they're likely to achieve it, all of that is going to pull the value down. So what we want to do is we want to engineer it so that we have as big, you know, components above the line here and as small as possible below the line. Within real, like within what's realistic, but those are the parameters that we have to work with when we want to increase the value. And remember, price is what you pay, value is what we get. And the only reason that people pay money for stuff is they feel like the value is bigger than the monetary price, right? We feel like the value of that pumpkin spice latte to us is more than the $5.79 or whatever the hell it costs to buy that thing, right? Otherwise, we're not going to make that trade. We live in a world, in a country where all trade is voluntary, most of it anyway. This kind of trade is. And so we have to make it so that people want it because they feel like the value of what they get is bigger than what the price that we're asking for it. When it comes to figuring out what to put in your offer, here's the process. You want to identify what is the dream outcome, and then you want to list all of the problems and objections, right? So in order for them to get from your problem to the outcome that we promised, that we deliver for them, what are all the problems that stand in their way, and what are all the objections that they might have? Oh, but I don't have time, or I don't know how to use like Google, or I don't know, like, if I can, I don't have access to a gym, or I don't really have a kitchen where I can cook at home. Like, whatever it is that their problems and objections might be, you want to brainstorm all of those and then keep a running list. So every time you talk to someone, every time you're on a sales call with a client or someone, something, then, or a coaching call, you mentally make a note of what are the problems and objections that they mention. And then you create named solutions for each one. So if it's like, I don't have time, like, come up with a way that they can save 3 hours a week, which is what they need for your program, by doing something. So like, then you can do a named solution for how to save 3 hours each week so that time is no longer an objection. Or if it's that they don't know how to use Google, then you can do a training on how to use Google and give it a name and include that as a bonus or as part of your value stack, your offer stack. And then you remove all of the items that are low value. Basically, you're looking for things that are high value, easy to sell, easy to fulfill, and unique or hard to compare. So that way, your offer becomes really unique, right? And that's a great thing because that means, you know, people aren't going to be like, oh, but I can get the same thing for X at this other person. No, you can't, because this offer is unique. That's what we're going for. Yeah. So that's really essentially like, that's the core of the offer, is in terms of like what's included and what do you charge for it, right? Look around the market, position yourself at a premium to the market that might be 15% above the market, and then really figure out all of the problems, all of the objections, and deliver on every one of those that you can. The more you can deliver on in your more objections and problems that you can deliver on in your offer, the easier it's going to be to sell. Then once you have that core, you can enhance it using scarcity, urgency, bonuses we already talked about, guarantees we touched on a little bit, and naming. So scarcity is when there's only a few units of something. All right. So it's like the first 10, and you can combine this with bonuses. So this bonus is only for the first 10, 5 or 10 who buy, for example, right? Or I can only work with 10 people at a time. So there are literally only 10 seats, right? That's the way that you can do scarcity. Urgency is a time limit. So like, this offer is only available till, you know, Sunday at midnight, or this bonus goes away Sunday at midnight. So that's a way that you can use scarcity and urgency, or fear tactics that you can use to push people over the edge. When they're like, when they're on the fence, they're like, I kind of want this thing, but I'm not 100% sure. And like, then you can use scarcity and urgency to push them over the fence using fear. Only do it in service to people, right? Only do it if you know that, like, in your heart, you're here to serve people, and that's what you're doing. That's where you're going to, that's your commitment to yourself and to them. And only do it if it's real, right? Don't use fake scarcity and urgency where like, oh, but then it didn't go away, or then you sold 15 or whatever, right? Like it's very, very common in the industry to do that. And it's just really bad karma. It's really bad practice. But bonuses, like we said, you know, positioning things as bonuses helps increase the perceived value, and it makes it more attractive. Guarantees. Really important. Let me see here. Yes. I have notes on bonuses. You guys can read that in on your own. So I covered most of it. Guarantees, very, very important. So guarantee, I mentioned with the Starbucks, with the coffee, right? That hey, if you don't like the drink, we'll remake it. That's a guarantee. And there's different kinds of guarantees. The whole idea of the guarantee is it's a risk reversal, meaning that when people spend money with you, they're taking a risk. You might not deliver, like it might not be what they thought it was going to be. Like there's a risk inherent in it. Like they're guaranteed parting with their money. They do not know for sure what they're going to get in return. That's a risk. The more that we can do to reverse that risk and say, hey, you have zero risk. I'm going to take the risk. It's entirely on me. The risk is entirely on me. The more we can do that, the more that's going to help people overcome their fear of buying as well. And so a couple of ways to do that, we can do the unconditional. So that's the typical 30 days, no questions asked, like money back. We can do a conditional. So if you do XYZ, if you do all your homework and you submit your worksheets and you still haven't gotten any results after 30 days, then something, right? A typical thing is like, then we will keep working with you for the next 60 days, one-on-one, and to implement this. And if then you still don't have any results, we'll refund you everything, or we'll give you double your money back, right? You can make really compelling guarantees that are like, yeah, 30 days, no questions asked, 60 days. If you don't have any results, we'll work with you for another 60 days. And then if you still don't have results, we'll double your money back. That's pretty compelling. Right. That like, oh shit. Yeah. They stand by this. You can also do anti-guarantees. So this is where you're like deliberately no refunds. We're so confident in what we do. We don't offer refunds. Like if you don't get results, it's on you, and that has nothing to do with us. And so we don't offer refunds. You can do that as a strategy. And if you do it, like name it. The bottom line of the guarantee is like have them. Or like whether it's an anti-guarantee or an actual guarantee, have it and hit it hard. And implied guarantees is where you're saying we're only going to be paid on performance. We're going to charge. We work with a company called FlexPay, and they help recover failed transactions. So whenever we do the monthly rebill on clients, if that transaction fails, FlexPay will come back and say, all right, based on our AI and training and, you know, trillions of transactions in our data set, we think the highest likelihood for getting the, making this transaction go through is if you retry it at this time and date and in this particular way. And then they get paid a percentage of what we end up recovering over and above what we recovered without them. That's their business model, right? So it's based on performance. You will, like, I will do lead generation for you or you know, marketing or sales or whatever, and I'm only going to get paid a percentage of the sales that you make of that, whatever comes from me. That's a performance-based payment model, and there's an implied guarantee in that. So yeah, bottom line, hit your guarantees hard, definitely have them. Don't be scared of offering a guarantee. So a lot of people are like, oh shit, double your money back. Oh crap, I'm going to go bankrupt. No, you're not. Because what's going to happen is you're going to sell, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20% more. And then of those, maybe 10% of those are going to ask for their money back or double their money back. So net, net, you win. Net, net, you win. Yes, you're going to end up paying some people double their money back, but you sold way more because you had the guarantee. So it works out. So don't be scared of doing it. Stack the guarantees, do more than one, and name them something cool. Like, give them a cool name. Naming is really, really crucial, which is the next topic here. So this is a formula from, again, Alex Hormozi. But give stuff a cool name as much as possible. So his formula is magic. Make a magnetic reason, like back to school. Name the avatar, stay-at-home moms. Give them a goal, pain-free. Indicate a time interval, 21 days, and then they'll have a container word, challenge, intensive, something like that, right? That's it for the offer, guys. That's kind of the teaching, the training on it. You guys have access to this file here. Maybe last thing to mention is when it comes to delivery, right? These are some of the parameters that we can work with. So in terms of group size, we can do anywhere from 1-to-1 to small group to 1-to-many, right? We can do, in terms of effort, it can be do it yourself, done with you, or done for you. In terms of support, we can do in-person, online, phone support, email support, text support, chat support. Consumption formats can be video with 2 O's apparently, video, audio, text, or live in person. Speed and convenience, 24/7, 9-to-5, Monday through Friday, you know, specific guaranteed response time. So when you're putting together your offers, like, you know, you'll get access to training, which you have 24/7. You have a community that you have 24/7. It's a small group format. You have access to me over, you know, text or Voxer or whatever, and I guarantee a 24-hour response time. Or, like, you can put these different elements together into your offer, and these are some of the parameters that you can work with. So with that, your homework is to construct your offer and post it in the forum. I'm going to follow up with a thread on that later. We're basically going to do here. Let me see here. The questions are, what's your price point? What's included in your offer? Name your offer. What will you do for scarcity, for urgency? What will you position as bonuses? And what guarantees are you going to offer? These are the questions you need to ask yourself as you construct the offer.